Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos. We're going to be doing Daf Pei Dalet and also Be'ezus Hashem Daf Pei Hei Omer Aleph again to make up, to catch up a little bit for Shavuos, which comes out this year on Friday and Shabbos. So this will give people a little bit of a breather in terms of trying to catch up either before Shavuos or after Shavuos. Of course, I recommend strongly that everybody chazer over Shavuos these Daf, and so this way you can learn the Daf Yomi on a Yomi basis. Okay, remind everybody, yesterday we learned the share Lili Nitzmas Hyman Lukin, Chaim Yitzhak Ben David, Michael Lukin's father. All the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah. So today we pick up what we left off in yesterday's share at the very bottom of Pei Gimel Omud Beis. And if you remember, we were talking about a machlokes between the Tana of our Mishnah and Chananya, the Tana Chananya, as to what is the source for the fact that a boat doesn't get tumah. And the Tana of our Mishnah said it's based upon a pasuk that we had in the Mishnah, which was Derech Aniyo Belev Yom, and Chananya had it based upon an idea that it's comparable to the Torah telling us Sak. Sak is Mekabel Tumah because it's carried Mole V'Reikon, so anything like Sak is that's carried Mole V'Reikon, and a nafkamina between these two opinions was a Kli Cheres boat. So therefore, according to Chananya, it's not similar to Sak, and therefore, a Kli Cheres boat is capable of being Mekabel Tumah, as opposed to the opinion of the author of our Mishnah, the Tana of our Mishnah, who says that's an Ani Yobalev Yom, and therefore it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. So we pick up on the very last words of Pei Gimel Amud Beis with Omar Rava. Rava tells us, L'chananya, according to this opinion of Chananya, we turn to Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, Tiltul Ayidei Shavarim Shimei Tiltul. According to this, the idea that if you can move something, we said with the boat, you could pick it up. The boats on the Yarden, they are relatively small, and people would pick them up when they couldn't get through the Yarden because it was narrow and shallow water, so they'd pick up the boat and carry it to the point where they could put it back in the water. So it's metali, mole v'reikon, and it's makabel tumah. That was the opinion of Chananya. Tana of our Mishnah would say, no, it's a boat, and therefore it's not makabel tumah. So according to the Chananya's opinion, now if you just have this as a straight statement, we say, ditnan, it's based upon the following. If you have this as an interrogative statement, is that really true? And then the more say, in, yes. The Bach deletes this word in, so we'll read it as a straight statement. And we know that because ditnan, because it states in the Mishnah in Kalim. Now this series of Mishnayos in Kalim is an interesting series of Mishnayos. It deals with giving three examples of something. The first example is something that is makabel tumas medris. The second example is something that's makabel tumas maga, and the third example is not makabel tumas at all. And you have many, many different things in these series of mishnayos over there in Kalim that are like this. So we're going to have two of those mishnayos brought down over here. Those are in the 24th perek, and it'll be the second mishnah and the fourth mishnah. Tosa says, why didn't they bring down the third mishnah? Okay, it's akasha. Tosa says akasha. But in any event, we're going to bring down the second mishnah in that perek and the fourth mishnah in that perek, and they'll both illustrate, we need them both together to illustrate this principle of Chananya, that tiltul ayidei shvarim shmei tiltul. Even if you can't carry it yourself, but as long as it can be carried by shvarim are big, tough oxen, and they can pull a much greater weight than a person, so if it's able to be pulled by shvarim, even if it's not able to be pulled by humans, that is still called its metaltol mole v'reikon is makabel tumah. What is this Mishnah? So the Mishnah tells us, Shalosh Agolos Hein. There are three types. As I mentioned, this whole Mishnah has three types of different things. The first one is makabel tumas medris. In other words, it can be sat upon, and if a zava or a mitzora, a person like that, zava, yolez, mitzora, sits upon it, they make it into an avatumah. That's tumas medris, which we discussed many times. So the Mishnah tells us, you have three different types of wagons, Shalosh Agolos Hein. The first one is Asuya Kikatedra. Katedra, Rashi tells us, is something that's small, Ktsara, Umukefis Mishalosh Sadin, and it's surrounded on three sides. In other words, this is a chair, and you sit on it, you have the two sides and the back. So it's made for sitting. It's made for medris. So it's Tamei medris. It's made for people sitting on it. And therefore, its sole purpose is to have a human being sit on it, and therefore, this type of a wagon, this type of a chair, is in fact going to be metame tumas medrash. If a tummy person sits on it, it becomes an avatuma. That's clear. Kemita, if however it's structured like a mita, Rashi explains this is a longer type of a thing which is used for storage. You put things inside of it. It's a base kibble. Not for people. It's a chest of some sort where you put things inside of it. And yes, you could sit on it, but it's not going to be made for that purpose. It's because when you want to use it, you're going to have to say, Amod, dinasim alachtenu. We need to get up and allow us to use it. So therefore, it's not made for sitting, so it's not makabel tumas medrash. But it is, it's a clay kibble. So it's makabel tumas maga. So therefore, this kemita, if this wagon over here is made like a mita, in other words, like a clay kibble to store stuff in it, tumea tumei mace. It does makabel tumas mace, and that's tumas maga. Not tumas medrus, but yes, tumas maga. However, if this wagon is shel avonim, now shel avonim sounds like it's made of stones, but that's not what it is. Rashi and Tosfos both explain over here that it means it's made to carry stones. In other words, it's made with some sort of like a slat-like structure, which has holes in between it, windows, so to say, in between it, and it's going to be able to not hold something like water, the water will pour out, but something like stones, which are big, won't fall out through these holes, in these slats, in these interlocking chassis, the Erev type of slats, and therefore it is able over here to hold stones. That's not considered something that's a clay kibble because it can hold smaller stuff, and therefore tohora miklum. It is not considered at all makabel tuma. As Rashi says over here, Dira Masu Torah Miklum, Eina Makabela Shum Tuma, Lefisha Prutza Mitachtel. It's open on the bottom. Nikovim Gedolim. These slats have huge holes in them, and therefore it's not called a clay kibble. Below Kleihu, they call it Kalim Shurim Kirim Onim, because the normal shear of having holes in it is that it can hold at least a rimon, a pomegranate, but if the holes, the slats over here, are spaced apart, that there's a rimon can fall through it, it's not makabel tuma. That's what the Mishnah says. And about this, Rav Yochanan, the Amora, comments, and he says, Amar Rav Yochanan, v'imyesh beis kibble rimonim tmeya tmei meis. But if it does have holes in it, but those holes aren't big enough that pomegranates can fall through it, so then in that situation, it is makabel tuma because it's able to be a clay kibble. And in that situation, it's makabel tuma. It's makabel tumas maga. Not medrus, but tumas maga. Now, if it's the type of wagon that can hold stones, it must be very, very heavy when it's filled up. And therefore, this would be something that no human being would be able to carry. And if a human being isn't able to carry it, so then it must be very, very heavy. And yet, even though it's only able to be carried morli v'reken by shvarim, by oxen, because it's so heavy, nevertheless, it's makabel tuma. This is the raya. Now, how do we know that it's able to be carried by shvarim over here and not by human beings? That's what you need the next mishnah for. And that tells us, this is Mishnah Dalet. Again, Tosa says, why didn't you give us the raya for Mishnah Gimel, which talks about arevos? So he says, okay, that's akasha. Arevos are troughs. In any event, the fourth Mishnah in this parak is as follows. Shalosh Tevos Hein. There are three types of drawers, of chests, that we have. The first one is Tevo Shepischa Bitzida, Tumea Medrash. This is a chest that has its opening on the side. In other words, you can still work with it. You can put in and take out stuff while a person is sitting on the top. Therefore, it's made for seating purposes. We don't say, Amod v'nasim lachtenu. We can do amalacha. We can work with it even when somebody's sitting on it. Therefore, it's made for sitting. And therefore, it's makabel tumas medrus. So therefore, if the opening is on the side, so you can still use it for its function of storage while you're sitting on it, then it's makabel tumas medrus. So teva shepischa mitzida tumea medrus. That's category number one. Category number two is milamala. The opening's on the top. In order for you to go and use it for storage, you have to tell the person, please get off, amod, the nasim lachtenu, so we can use it. In this situation, it's not made for medrus, and therefore it's not makabel tumas medrus, but since it is a kli, it's a base kibble, mitame tumas mace. So milamala, if the opening's on the top, so it's not makabel medrus, but tumeya tumei mace. It can be makabel tumas mago. The classic example of that is tumei mace. V'haba b'mida, if it's so big, that's haba b'mida, Rashi explains over here, haba b'mida is teva gedola, she'ena metaltelis, it normally can't be moved, it's so large. V'yesh lo chalo milamala, lishtamish betocha, and it has an opening on the top, you can put things inside of it, so it has a base kibble, but since it's so big, it can't be moved even by shvarim, it's a huge container. This is like a dumpster, and you can have a team of oxen there, it ain't moving that dumpster so fast. So this dumpster over here is tahora miklum. It isn't going to be makabel tuma, even though it's a base kibble, but it's too big. It's not metalta, moli v'rekon, even by shvarim. And here's our raya to Chananya. If it's so big, so then it's not makabel tuma because it's not being able to be moved, moli v'rekon, even by shvarim, but that implies that Mishnah Beis, which talked about the shalosh tevos, was able to be moved by shvarim, and even though it's for stones, which are quite heavy, so a human being isn't going to carry them, but shvarim can move this type of a teva, so therefore Mishnah Beis proves with Mishnah Dalet over here that Chananya is correct, that even if it's metaltel, ayidei shvarim, shmei tiltel, and it's metaltel moli v'rekon, as makabel tuma. Next brisa, Tana Rabbanan, the Chacham learned in the following brisa, Medrus kli cheres tahor. A kli cheres is not makabel tumas medrus. By definition, a kli that is made out of cheres, an earthenware utensil, cannot be makabel tumas medrus. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, af asvina. He says this is even true for a svina. Now, this is a very enigmatic brisa, so now let's discuss it. My comment. Gemara asks us, what in the world is brisa saying? As Rashi says, ma inyan svina, it's a medrus. What in the world is svina doing over here with medrus? Svina tahora, af mitumas maga. A svina, as we said, is not metame. We had both Hananya and the Tana of Amishna saying that boats aren't makabel tuma. So it's not metabel maga. So it's certainly not makabel tumas medrus. So what in the world is this brisa telling us? So we'll have several answers. Amar Zvid. Rizvid tells us, this is what the brisa is telling us. Medrus kli cheres tahor. If, in fact, this is a kli cheres and people are sitting on it, it's not going to become tome. Medrus of a kli cheres doesn't accept tuma. However, umago tabe, but a kli cheres can be touched on the inside. If you touch a kli cheres on the outside, it's not matame the inside. But if you touch a kli cheres on the inside, even if you put something inside its airspace without touching the inside, it is makabel maga. So it does get mago tame. That's what Razvid says the Tanakhama is telling us over here. And along comes Rav Yossi, and he says usfina shel cheres tameya. A svina, a boat that's made out of earthenware, is makabel tuma through maga. This is maga, not medris. Now the Gemara says, whose opinion is this like? This is like Hananya. Again, the Tana of Amisha says a boat's a boat. Any boat is not makabel tuma. And Hananya said, no, it has to be like a sock. And since a boat is not like a sock, so it can be makabel tuma smaga. That's what the Brisa is interpreted as. The Gemara says, Rav Yossi Omer, and how does Rav Zvid say Rav Yossi? He says, af svina tahora. Rav Yossi comes along and says, no, even a boat is tahora, not like Hananya, ketana didan. He holds like the Tana of our Mishnah that says, boats are boats, and no boat is makabel tuma. And that's the way Rav Zvid would interpret this brisa. Rav Papa doesn't like this. Maskev l'Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, wait a second, my af, the word af doesn't fit in the way you just said it. Af, he says, svina tahora. The bottom line is, the Tanakhama, in fact, doesn't say that boats are makabel tuma. He says nothing is makabel tuma. He says kli cheres is not matami tuma. So why does Rav Yossi come along and say even a boat? What make you think that the Tanakhama says that a boat would be, that Rav Yossi has to come and say even a boat doesn't makabel tuma? So Rav Papa doesn't like the language over here. So Rav Papa understands the brisa therefore as follows. Elom Rav Papa, he says this is the way you have to understand the brisa. Hachikomar medrus kli cheres is tar. The Tanakhama is telling us that there's no din of medrus kli cheres. There is no din by kli cheres of being a medrus. It's tar. However, the Tanakhama says, umago tome. If you touch inside a kli cheres, within the airspace of a kli cheres, and certainly if you touch the inside, it is metame. But that is when you're dealing with a kli cheres. Vishal eitz, if you're dealing with a kli that's made out of wood, so be medroso. Obey mago tome. Here, it is capable of being makabel tumas medrus, and it is capable of being makame tumas maga. However, it then says, usfina sayar din Torah. The Tanakhama holds that boats, anywhere, because of the pasuk, based upon the yam, the boats are like the yam, they're not makabel tumas at all, and sfina sayar din is Torah, both for maga and medrus. That's the Tanakhama, and that the Tanakhama of the Brisa, and he's like Ketana Didan. He holds like the Tana of Mishnah. He uses the pasuk that we brought down that boats are like the yam. And along comes Rav Yossi, according to this opinion of Rav Papa. Along comes Rav Yossi, and he says, Afa Svina Tmei. He says, no, the boats are Tamei, because I don't hold like the Tana of a Mishnah. I hold Kechananya. That's the way Rav Papa would understand this Brisa. Now the Gemara says, where do we get this concept that a kli cheres can't be makabel tumas medrus? Where did that come from? Well, medrus kli cheres minolin dahot tor. How do we know that a kli cheres, everybody agrees, is not makabel tumas of medrus? So Gemara says, Amar Chizkiah tells us, based upon the following pasuk, the Amakra, because the pasuk tells us, it's the pasuk in Vayikra, where it tells us, the Amakra, v'ish asher yiga b'mishkavo. Notice it says, if a person who is a zav over here touches his mishkav, he sits on his mishkav. So the combination of mishkavo teaches us makish mishkavo lo. So he and the mishkav both have the same din. In what way? So the Gemara tells us, mahi islay tahara mikvah, just like the zav, after the appropriate period of time, he has a zayin akim, he has a 7 clean days. If he was a zav gadol, he then goes to the mikvah. So the Zav is like the Harbi Mikvah, so to anything that the Zav is Matame, in order for it to be Makabo Tumma, Af Mishkabo, that thing that he's sitting on, Nami Islay Tahara b'mikvah, must also be able to be makabel tahara by being put into a mikvah. So only things that work to be through a mikvah to be tar, they can accept tumas medrash. But things that don't get tahara through a mikvah, they wouldn't be able to be makabel this tumas medrash. We learned this out from the Hekesh over here, mishkavo. That is what Chizkiah told us. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Tana, a second answer is from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. He says the pasuk tells us Kimishkav Nidasa Yela. Again, it tells us the Mishkav of a Nida. It's the exact same type of a drasha. Chizkiah learned it from the Zav Mishkavo, and the Rabbi Shmuel and the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned it from Mishkav Nidasa. So it tells us over there Nakish Mishkava La. It's my Makish the Nida with what she sits on with her Mishkav. So therefore, Mahi Isla Tahara B'mikvah, same exact proof, just a different pasuk. That just like she can be Mekabel Tahara, she gets Tahara by going into the mikvah, Af Mishkavah, that which she sits upon, Nami Isla Tahara B'mikvah, has to be something that can be Mekabel Tahara, it can become Tahara by going through the mikvah. Both of them is Lafuke Kli Cheres, the Lesle Tahara B'mikvah, based upon Chizkiah or based upon the Rabbi Shmuel. A klicheris is excluded because a klicheris can never go into a mikvah and become tar. The only way a klicheris can become tar, the pasuk says, klicheris, a shigabo, azov, yishaver, you got to break it. It's not that it becomes tar by breaking it, it's no longer a kli. There is no tahara for a klicheris. You have to break it because you can't ever make it tar. So both Chizkiah and the Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, they learn this out, that medrash of klicheris is always tar because it can't go into a mikvah. And whether you're learning out from Zav or you're learning out from Nida, a hekish dissolved to the mishkav, or a hekish nida to the mishkav, mishkavah. So both of them say, just like the zav or the nida has to be able to go into the mikvah to become tahora or tar, so too the object, the mishkav, has to have the ability to go into the mikvah to become tar. That's the raya. Masa Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Loi says the following question: Mapitz bameis minayin. Whoa, we have over here a concept we learned that a mapitz, a mat, is made out of reeds. Made out of something that is pshute kliyetz, according to Rashi, according to Tosos. It's not exactly pshute kliyetz. He says it's shifa or shogemi, various types of growths. In any event, this mapitz b'meis minayin. How do we know that this is makabel tumas meis? In other words, it's makabel tumas maga. Even though, as Rashi says, it's pshute kliyetz. And normally pshute kliyetz are not makabel tumah. So how do we know that this mapitz is makabel tumah? We turn to the Omer Beis. He says, the Gemara says, v'dinhu. This is a kabel chomer. What's the kabel chomer? Uma pachin kitanim shetahorim bizov tmeim bimeis. Pachin kitanim are very small vessels that have a very small opening, so you can't put your finger inside of it. So these pachin kitanim can never become tome when they come into contact with the zov, yet they can become tome meis. Now, why can't they become tome by a zov? Because the zov is only metame inside over here of these earthenware utensils, these pachin kitanim. So now, you can't put your finger inside because it's too small, the opening is too small. You can't be metame there from the outside because klicheris is not metame from the outside, it's only metame from the inside. And therefore, the pachim kitanim, which never can become tame with the zov, yet metame meis, they can accept tumas meis. So, kal v'chomer, the mapitz, this mat, shetame bezov. If a zov sits on a mat like this, it does accept tumas medris, it does accept the tum of the zov. So certainly, in Odin, shetame meis, it's a kal v'chomer. If the zov can be metami the mapitz, and can't be metami the pachim kitanim, so the pachim kitanim, which can't accept tumas meis, so certainly the mapitz should be able to be accepting tumas meis. That's the kal v'chomer. Now, v'amai, why is that so, Rabbi Loyes? Ha, less late the tahara b'mikvah. Now, a mapitz is a pshute kliyetz, and therefore, it shouldn't be able to accept tumas medrash because it doesn't have tahara in a mikvah. It's pshute kliyetz, and pshute kliyetz doesn't go into a mikvah. It's not a base kibble, it's not a kli, it can't get tahara. But you're telling me that the mapitz does get tumas meis, and that it does get tumas medrash. So how come it gets tumas medrash? It's not able to be tahara in a mikvah. And you just taught us that the principle is that anything that, like a zov with the mishkav or the nida mishkava, the only things that can get tumas medrash is things that can get tahara in a mikvah. But the mapitz can't get tahara in a mikvah. So that's the question. So Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina tells him, no, shiny hasim, it's different. Why? Chol v'ika b'mino. There are kli eitz that do have a base kibble and do get the har in a mikvah. So therefore, the category of kliyetz does have something that gets the har in a mikvah. So even though this kliyetz is pshute kliyetz and wouldn't normally get the har in a mikvah, but since the class can get the har in a mikvah, so we can accept tumas maga. As opposed to klicheris, there's none in the class. There's no klicheris that gets the har in a mikvah. That's what Rukh Hanina answers. Reloy doesn't like this answer. Amalei, Reloy says Rukh Hanina. Again, a poetic language. Rachmana litzlan, God should save us. Mehai daita. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us from people that have your type of a svara. He says it doesn't make any sense. The mappets is what we're talking about, not the class. And according to you, if the mappets isn't tar in a mikvah, so then it shouldn't accept tumas medras. Who cares that other types of kliyets can accept tar in a mikvah? It can't. So therefore, God should save us from your type of thinking. Rukh Hanina responds, he says, Adarabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu save us from your type of thinking, Rachmana litzlan, midai toch didat, that your thinking is incorrect. Now why? What does Rukh Hanina tell him that your thinking is incorrect? So time am I, what's the reasoning? So trei kroi ksive. There are two different psukim over here, and one is used to tell us that the general class, and one is to tell us that even things in the general class that are pshute kliyets can also be mekabel tumas medras. What are the two psukim? Trei kroi ksive. Ksiv, one pasuk says, v'isha sheyigah b'mishkovo. That's the pasuk we just brought down. This was the pasuk that he based the hekesh on to teach us over here that if the zov gets tahar in a mikvah, so too, something gets tahar in a mikvah can be mekabel tumas medras. But then he has another pasuk. Uksiv, it tells us another pasuk, kol ha-mishkov ha-sheyishkav alov ha-zov yitmah. Anything that the mishkov, that a zov sits upon, is tameh. Now here, it doesn't make a hekesh between the zov and the mishkov. Ha-ketzat. So what is this second pasuk for? To teach us exactly what Rabbi Chanina says. Yesh b'mino, afal gav deles le-tara b'mikvah. As long as there are categories within its class, there are kli-eits that are makabel tumah, so therefore, even pshute kliyets can be makabel over here, tumas medras, because they can have, their class has tahara in a mikvah. So therefore, if it has yesh b'mino, afal gav deles le-tara b'mikvah, even though it itself doesn't, as long as in its class it does have tahara in a mikvah, it can accept tumas medras. Ein b'mino, meikish mishkov ulo. But if there is no category, like klicheris, where any klicheris gets tahara in a mikvah, then you're right, then it can accept tumas medras. That's exactly Rabbi Chanina's point of view. Where continues and says, another teretz. Rav Omar, this is the teretz over here, why we know that klicheris is not makabel tumas medras. He says, medras klicheris tar mihocha. This is where we know the source, that tumas medras doesn't apply to a klicheris. What is that? The pasuk tells us, v'chol kli pasuach asher ein tzomid pasil alav. The pasuk tells us that in earthenware utensil, a klicheres, if it's underneath the roof of tumas meis, so the tumas meis can't go inside of it if it's a sealed utensil. If the utensil has a tzomid pasil, the tuma can't get inside. If it doesn't have a tzomid pasil, ain't tzomid pasil alav, so then it can't accept tumas meis. But the implication is, hoyesh tzomid pasil alav tarhu. Klicheres can block the tuma from coming in by the fact that it has a cap on it, the fact that it has a tzomid pasil, so the tumas meis can't enter inside the klicheris. And the klicheris is not makabel tumah from the outside, it's only makabel tumah from the inside, but it has a tzomid pasil, it's sealed off, so therefore it's not makabel tumah. But now, if it's makabel tumas medris, so then the cap wouldn't work. Mi lo askinon, the yachadinu liishto nida. Why would he have this klicheris over here? It's for his wife to sit on. Now his wife, when she's a nida, she sits on this. If it accepted tumas medras, so then the cap would not be a ability to block the tumas meis from coming inside. Because only something that's tahar can block the tumas meis through this somit pasul idea. But if a nida with the sit on it, as a result of her sitting on it, would be makabel tumas medras, so now we couldn't block tumas meis. But it doesn't say that. So the Gemara says, v'kama rachmana tar, even this somit pasul that a nida sat upon can still block tumas meis. What must it be? It can't accept tumas medras. It didn't accept tumas medras. It didn't become tameh, and therefore can block the tumas meis as a tzomid pasil. That's what Rava says is the raya, that klicheris is not makabel tumas medras. From this idea that even though it's a tzomid pasil alav, and it was a medras, in fact, it's not a medras in halacha, and therefore it still can block tumas meis. Therefore, it must not be able to be makabel tumas medras. That's Rava's idea. Again, these are very complicated Mishnayos and Gemaras dealing with Tumah and Tara, which we're not so familiar with. I hope I explained it clearly. Now, let's go weiter. As I said, because of Shavuos, we're going to make up an extra Amud today, so we'll finish off this Amud, and we'll do most of Pei Hei Amud Aleph as well. So we begin the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is, again, continuing the series of Minayin. How do we know? So this Mishnah is going to be dealing with some of the dinim of Kilayim, where you're allowed to plant in a little patch of soil and not have a problem with Kilayim. You're not allowed to plant different types of minim together. Otherwise, it's an issur of kilayim. So you have to separate them a certain distance. The distance that they have to separate, we assume a seed goes 1.5 tefachim away from where it's planted, and it still gets its nourishment from the ground. So you must have a distance of 3 tefachim between two seeds in order not to have a concern about kilayim. That's true when they're straight from each other. If they're around the bend, so to say, even though they're actually getting their nourishment, they're suckling, so to say, from the same karka, if it's not looking like it, they're getting the same nourishment because they're around the corner, they're around the bend, or they're at right angles to each other, so they don't look like they're being planted together. Even if they're within 3 tefachim of each other, they don't have a problem with kilayim. With that little introduction, we'll now better understand the Mishnah. So minayin, again, the series of words, minayin, how do we know liaruga? Aruga is a certain area of soil that you planted in. So it's 6x6 tefachim. Aruga shi shisha al shisha tefachim. A area that is 6x6 tefachim. Again, a tefach is about 3.5 to 4 inches. So you're talking about something that's 2 feet by 2 feet. Roughly, let's say it's 4 inches to a tefach. So it's 6 tefachim. It's 24 inches by 24 inches. So a pot of land that's 2 feet by 2 feet, you would be allowed, capable, shazorim besocha chamisha zeron. You could plant 5 different species within this aruga, within this patch of dirt over here. Arba ruchos aruga. You would plant 1 seed along the entire perimeter, with the exception of the actual corners themselves. And you can see this in the diagram that we have in our Rashi's over here. You see the white little box in each corner, that's fallow. There's nothing planted over there. And then the shaded perimeter, that's actually 1 seed. It looks like it's a whole row, but it's actually 1 seed going from top left to the top right, from the top right to the bottom right, from the bottom right to the bottom left, and up from the bottom left to the top left. So that's 1 row, the shaded area is 1 seed in each box, so to say, 1 seed along the entire perimeter, and 1 seed in the center. That's the arrangement that you can do this without being a problem of kilayim. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us over here. In a 6x6 tefach area, you could plant 5 different species. Each side is 1 species. Top is species 1, side is species 2, bottom is species 3, the other side is species 4, and then species 5 in the middle. How do you know you're allowed to do this? Arba al arba ruchos haruga. You can have 4 different species around the perimeter, and achas b'yam, so 1 in the middle. How do we know you're allowed to do this? Because the pasuk tells us, shenemar, ki cho oretz tosit simcha uchigana zeruel tatzmiach. This pasuk tells us, we'll darshan in a moment, that you can plant 5 different plants over here in this area. The pasuk is telling us that you have this ground over here, which will give forth some sort of a produce, and the gina will cause the zaronim, the seeds over here, to go and grow. So the pasuk tells us, zara lo nemar ella zeruel. It doesn't use the singular that you're planting the same seed, ella zeruel, which implies multiple different types of seeds, and we'll darshan out right now in the Gemara, 5 different seeds you could plant. Gemara says, my mashma, how do you know 5? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda tells us, ki ha'aretz totzit simcha. We darshan the words ka'aretz totzi. Totzi means 1. Chad, that's the first one. Simcha, that's number 2. Hari trei, we're up to 2. Zeruel implies trei, another 2, so we're up to 4. Ha'arba, and then it says tatzmiach at the end, chad, that's the 5th one. Ha'chamisha, that's how we get from this pasuk, we dash out that it can have 5 different types of plantings. Gemara says, v'kim lula rabbanan, the rabbis understood, the chamsha b'shisa lo yonke me'adode, and 5 within this area of 6x6, the rabbanan knew. It's not a halach l'mosh mi'sinai, but they were able to dash out, they knew over here, that this meant that you can plant 5 different seeds in a 6x6 tefach area and not have a problem of kilayim, that you have yenika lo yonke mehadadeh. They're not getting nourishment one from the other. Doesn't have the appearance, and it's practically not going to happen that way. And the Gemara says, how did the rabbis know this? Uminallah and the hall, the kim lulu rabbanan. Now the gist that we have is the chimsha b'shisa. There's nothing wrong with it, but it says on the side that we're not gorisin. I'm not sure why, because it's correct. In any event, how did the rabbis know this milsahi? How did they know this? That you can't, you don't have a problem with kilayim if you plant 5 different species in the way we outlined it within the 6x6 tefachim area. So the Amar Rabbi Chiya Barabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya Barabba said the name Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'idich Siv, what's the basis of this? Because the pasuk says, Lo sasik bul reyacha, you're not allowed to go and move your reyacha, your neighbor, your friend's borders. And the key part is the part that we have in the brackets, Asher govlu rishonim, that the rishonim set up, that the earlier rabbis set up. Givu shegovlu rishonim, lo sasik. That halacha that the Rishonim set up, you shouldn't go and break. In other words, the earlier Rishonim, they knew that you could plant five different species within a 6x6 tekhav area, and this pasuk is the basis for that understanding. The Gemara says, my gavli Rishonim, what do you mean gavli Rishonim? Where do we find that the Rishonim said you can plant five things within 6 tefach by 6 tefach area and not be over kilayim? So I'm Rishmul Ben Achmeni, I'm Rav Yochanan's son. It should be throughout, it says, it should be Rav Yochanan over here. Yesh Korsum, Gamkan Yochanan. So instead of Yonah's son each time, you could have Yochanan. That's what we had before, I'm Rav Yochanan. So on the side it says, this should be, instead of Rav Yonah's son, it should be Rav Yochanan. In any event, whoever it was, said the name of Rav Yonah's son or Rav Yochanan. What is the pasuk? Now we have the girsa my dichsiv, but it's really not a question. So it's saying dichsiv that he's telling us the answer. It's based upon the following pasuk: Elav neseir hachori yoshve aretz. This pasuk from the end of Bereishis tells us that the bnei seir, who are known as the chori yoshve aretz, they were dwellers of the land. So Gemara says, Atu kuli alma yoshvi rokiyin. No, very poetic type of language. Everybody else is dwellers of the sky. That you're calling these people dwellers of the land, that doesn't seem to add any information that they dwelled in the land. Everybody dwells in the land. So no, this is a drasha. Ella shayu bikiyim bi yeshuva shel eretz. They were experts in knowing what grows in the land, in the yeshuva shel eretz, how to build up the land in the best way possible. Shayomim, they would say, melo kanezeh, melo kana. Rashi tells us in Dibur Masku, melo kana. He says, Kona Hamido Shebo Modi de Makarka. This is a measuring stick that they would measure out the ground. So, Melo Kona Zel Zayis. They would say, this measure over here of land is very good for growing olives. And Melo Kona Zel, this measure over here is very good Likfanim. It's very good for growing grapes. Melo Kona Zel Etanim. And this measure over here is very good for growing grapes. So, they were experts in knowing what is the best yield that you're going to get from each type of land. Why were they called Chori? The Chori. Shemerichin Es Aretz. They did this through smelling the ground. They had such a great sense of smell over here, an exquisite sense of smell. By sniffing the ground, they could say what is going to grow well over here. And why were they called the chivi? What's that coming to be darshened out? Amar Papa, shu'tamim es ha'aretz kechivya. They would actually taste the ground like a chivya. A chivya is a snake, and therefore, just like a snake, kinochesh, Rashi says, shemachol ofer, it's eating the dust of the earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the nochesh hakadmon, and says you're going to eat the dust of the earth. And therefore, so snakes, they, so to say, they taste and they actually can tell from the ground what's good for this ground. So these people, they were given this skill, so to say, and that's what this pasuk darshan, that they were experts in knowing what ground is good for what ground. And they were the ones that taught us that you can plant five different species within this 6 tefach by 6 tefach area. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar, a different drasha, he says, Chori, why are they called Chori? Not because over here from the word, he says, Shinasu Bnei Chorim in Echseir, that they were made ultimately free from their land. In other words, Esav took over their land, they lost their land. Okay, that's why we're called Chori. In any event, we see that this shear of five species within 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim is the rule. Amar Ravasi, Ravasi says, Aruga tocha shisha chutz migvuleha. He says, the way you do this is you set up a field that's 6 by 6 tvachim, not including the area of 1 tefach that you need to go and service that patch of ground. In other words, you need the guy that's watering it, that's doing stuff to it. He has to walk around it with a 1 tefach area. So the perimeter of the 6 by 6 has a 1 tefach area to walk around it. That is not included in the 6 by 6. Because otherwise, as Rashi says, if you included that, so then you'd only have a 4 by 4 patch, and that's not enough to make sure that you're going to have 3 tefachim between each of the seeds. The Brisa supports what Ravasi said. Ravasi is an Amora. He didn't know all the Brisas. Ravasi made a statement, and Tanya Ranami Hochi, we have a Brisa that supports what Ravasi said. Aruga tocha shisha. The Aruga is 6 by 6 tefachim. The Brisa says beferish that it's 6 by 6 tefachim. So the Brisa supports exactly what Rav Asi said. Now, the Gemara asks, Givuleo Bekama, how do we know the periphery around it is a 1 tefach area? So you have a 8 by 8, so to say, because you have 1 tefach on each side, above and below and on the side. So how do we know that there's this 1 tefach area around this patch of ground? So Gemara says, Kiditnan, that's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kilayim tells us, Rav Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rav Yehuda says, Rochav, the extra space around the Aruga, is Kamo Rochav Parsa. It's like the width of your parsa. Your parsa is the sole of your foot, which is equal to a tefach. So, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Bitema Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papa, one of them said, my time of the view, the witty review to get this from. So he gets it from a different pasuk. So the pasuk tells us, this is from Devarim, where it tells us, the siv, Vishkisa, Biraglecha, kigan hayorok, that you go and you'll water it with your feet. In other words, you'll walk around the patch of dirt over here, and you'll water it kigan hayorok. And therefore, you need that extra tefach around each side in order to care, to service that field. And ma regel tefach, the width of your regel is a tefach. So going from the left side to the right side of your foot is a tefach. 3.5 to 4 inches, so you need that space to walk with your feet around it, and therefore that's going to teach you that you need a tefach around this field. So bottom line is, we have these drushes to tell us that a field is considered a significant patch that you can plant 5 different species within it. If you set it up in this way, that it's a 6 tefach by 6 tefach field, and you have 1 tefach around it to go and care for that field. Now, Rav says, Omar Rav, this aruga is bichurba shaninu. This is a self-contained plot. It's like a hurba. It's like a ruin. There's nothing else around it. You have this one patch over here like this, without other patches around it, then these dinim apply. But once you introduce other patches around it, the din doesn't necessarily apply. For more questions, it says, Va'ika mikom kronos, why you could do this in a way, now you look in the diagram, in the Rashis that we have, and you can see that instead of having, like we originally said, that the perimeter is totally filled in, you can have only half of each perimeter filled in, and you're doing it at right angles to each other, and in this way, you have significant space in between each of the patches, so it's not a problem, each of the growths area within each patch, and therefore, you can now set them up that you have a space in between one patch to the next patch, because you have the 2 tefach, each field has its own 1 tefach around it, so that's 2 tefachim in between each patch. And then, if you look at from where one growth ends and the other growth starts, so then the diagonal of a 2 by 1 tefach area, because there's only 1 tefach in between them, that's the way it's set up, would be a 2 times the square root of 2, which is, again, roughly 3 tefachim. It's actually less than that. Tosa says it's not really that exact calculation, because it's 2 times the square root of 2. Over here is going to be 2.24 tefachim, and that's actually not really 3, so it's rounded off. So Tosa has a slightly different way of understanding this, but in any event, that's how we get the 3 tefachim. We could set it up that there's at least 3 tefach in between all the different growths. And why did we insist? Rav said that it has to be b'chorba. The Gemara says you could set it up so that you could have 9 patches like we have in the diagram over here, and you don't have to say it's only 1 patch. So Gemara says, Ami be Rab, Mishmei de Rab. So the Beis Medrash of Rab, the answer for Rab, no, b'mamali as a corners. We're talking here that you went all the way to the corners, like we originally said. And therefore, that's why this is not going to be a situation where Rav says that you have 9 of these patches. He says each patch separately if you want to fill up the patches. Yeah, if you do it the way we just said, you could fit in many more patches. So the Gemara asks, so why didn't Rav say it like this? Why did Rav insist that it be a churba? It should be only 1 patch. V'lizra me'abroi, do it in this way. V'lo limale me'gavoi, so leave some open spaces within each of these patches in the way that the diagram says, and this way you could go and do it. So why did Rav insist that it had to be an isolated patch? We turn to the Amud Beis. And Gemara says, Gizeiro Shemi Yamali Sakronos, because once you give a little bit, we know people will go too much further. And therefore, if you allow them to do half of the perimeter, they're going to fill in the whole perimeter before you know it, and then we'll have a Kilayim problem. Gemara says, one last question. Why did Rav insist upon this? When we say different patches coming into each other, so we have something called the Rosh Tur. A person is allowed to plant Kilayim from one field to the other, which would otherwise be Kilayim, because it's clear that it's 2 separate fields. And we pointed out already in a little introduction that I gave, if something is not clearly a same field, it's clearly 2 different fields, like a Rosh Tur. When you have one field going in at an angle into another field, it clearly looks like 2 fields. So why don't we make these patches over here in a Rosh Tur setup? Lo yelo Rosh Tur Yorok, and this way, Milotan, haven't we learned how your Rosh Tur Yorok nichnas a sof soda acher? Mutter, it's not a problem with Kilayim, Mipnation here is sof soda, because one field doesn't look like it's a continuation going to the other field. If they come in at a diagonal to each other, so then it's clearly 2 separate fields, and then even if they're within 3 tefach of each other, it's not a problem with Kilayim. If you have a wall between 2 fields that can be planted 1 inch away from each other, the wall clearly demonstrates that they're separate, even though under the ground they're mixing. That's not the problem. It's the appearance's sake. So if you make the 2 patches in a Rosh Tur coming in diagonally to each other, that could be good. Why didn't Rav do that? Someone says, ain't Rosh Tur biaruga. You have patches over here. You can't have a Rosh Tur. A Rosh Tur could be 1 field next to another field. It comes in on a diagonal, like a pointy line into it.
That could be a Rosh Tor. But Rab didn't like these 9 patches over here. There was no way to make him a Rosh Tor. And he felt if you start making a half of a perimeter, before you know it, you're going to have a full perimeter. That's why Rab said, if you want to do this 5 plantings within a 6x6 tefillah area, it should be totally separate by itself and not have additional patches there. That gets around any of the problems. This is a good point for us to stop. We again caught up another half of a daf. We're perfectly good for Yemir Tzeh Shem Shavuos. Everybody should have a wonderful Chodesh Sivan. Have a great day.